in a moment, talking to someone who I think cuts a new path. And when I want to look at South Africa through a different lens, then you know what, Joe? One of the things that really inspires are those South Africans who are taking on our country, our life in a different way. Those younger and sometimes hungrier South Africans who have perspectives where we should share in. One of those young people is Nicolette Mashile. I hope she doesn't mind that I call her a young person. Hello, Nicolette. Welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, and thank you for having me. Hello to your listeners.
I hope you don't mind I call you a young person, so you forgive me for that, right?
So it's okay.
It feels like I'm talking to someone who gets into this world of putting herself in front of people. Is all the world the stage, Nicolette? Do you feel like you have no fear of being a public figure?
Look, the fear will always be there, but the call and the social call is far more greater than the fear. So, you know, we need to liberate each other in some way, you know. So if I'm called onto that stage, I have to just oblige to it.
Thank you for having that courage and the positive attitude, because you actually work in the business of motivating people, whether on television or off television. What's it like being a motivational speaker?
I think, you know, there's obviously perks to it. People look up to you, and it's a different type of feeling when you've got people looking to you and trying to draw some sort of inspiration and motivation from you. But again, it's a very tall task. You know, it's not something that I take very lightly, because I also understand that, you know, the dire state of some of our people's affairs. You know, and that for me is what's heartbreaking and keeps pushing me to try more and give people more. And I think we do need a lot more people in South Africa speaking out, because you can be a motivational speaker in your own circles and not even realize it. So, you know, we need to start having the right conversations, and that's how we're going to develop more motivational speakers and more people telling their genuine stories that might motivate somebody else, you know, just listening in.
Well, from Bushbuck Ridge to the rest of the country, what has made you feel, you know, when you look at a day like today, I'm sure, like all South Africans, we look at these days and we wonder, you know, where is our country heading? But you've come from that space. You speak of how ordinary people need to find their power. From Bushbuck Ridge to where you're at now, what do you hold on to? Do you hold on to a few things that you learnt in Mpumalanga?
I hold on to the conversations my dad had with us as children. I say conversations in the most, you know, with a pinch of salt in saying that, because he didn't really have conversations. It was quite a dictatorship in my family.
I bet you my daughters would say the same thing right now.
Yeah. But the way my parents brought us up, really, I hold steadfast to those teachings. My dad always said to me, if you don't do certain things in life, people will outclass you. You know, I used to go to school in Nelspruit, but we stayed in Bushbuck Ridge. So every weekend, we'd go home. So we'd stay in Nelspruit in a flat, my sister and I, and then on weekends, we'd go home. And when we're driving back, my dad always, he never drove us to school on a Sunday, you know. He would drive us on the Monday morning. We'd have to wake up at like 3 a.m. in the morning, bath.
Yeah.
And then while we're driving from Bushbuck Ridge to Nelspruit, he'd show us all the people that are walking, and they're walking, you know, to the compounds that are working in the woods. And he'll say to me, if you guys don't go to school, you're going to end up like these people. So that's what I hold on to. And while he was talking about tertiary and very structured education, I do feel that there is a lack of even the informal education in South Africa that's making people stay behind, you know. And that's really all I ever hold on to. In my family, we're not a very intimate family. So we were taught that straight talk breaks no friendship. So in a lot of things, you know, that my mom and dad would say to us, whereas In other families, you would think, geez, you will shudder at just hearing some of those things. In our family, it was like, okay, well, this is normal. Get yourself together.
So it was a straight talking, and also, by the sounds of it, high expectations.
Yes, no, definitely.
And now let's cut to the chase of why I want to get onto the issue, because anyone who's seen assertiveness will understand that here's a lady who actually does speak her mind and wants the social issues to be laid on the table, so to speak.
Yeah.
That brings us to your favorite topic, and today, more than anything, we're all looking at finances from a global perspective, country perspective, personal perspective. You say you want people to come right with money.
Yes.
How are you going to get something like that going in a country where everybody loves to get into debt?
What a loaded question. Look, I do believe that, you know, there are certain reasons as to why we became a consumer type of country. And why spending seems far more attractive to us than investing our monies. And I do believe that it's all deep rooted in the lack of financial literacy that we have. You know, you've got a young child who goes through primary school, high school. They have no access to any type of curricula that teaches them financial literacy. I mean, they've got consumer studies and EMS. But basically, even the people teaching those subjects don't understand them themselves. So you're not really motivating kids or getting them geared up to actually understand finances. And then you've got this child moving to university, doing a BA. They never get any access to economics, accounting, stats, and all those subjects. They don't understand how the economy in the world works. They don't understand how the economy in the country works. They then, you know, graduate, get a first job.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this child who's never seen 15,000 rand as a salary in their entire life is now earning 15,000 rand, and everything just looks attractive. Now I must buy everything because I can afford it. And the bank says I can afford it, so why not? So, you know, there is a very huge gap in terms of some of the things that we learn at school and reality and actually living in South Africa and living in the world and being part of the economy. And that, for me, is the biggest problem. So how are we going to do it? It definitely has to start with some level of education.
But it is, for me, a very empowering thing to hear, and let me racialize it, to hear a fellow black South African woman who is not prepared to keep this myth of everyone who's on television has a bling-bling lifestyle, and all you need in life is to buy things, and, you know. So one of the key things that I want to push to you is, you are obviously trying to break that, trying to say to everyone, look, there's a realness to this life, to earning money, to being in balance with it, when the rest of this younger generation, Nicolette, are just wanting to pop bottles and look like they are, you know, having the best life on a music video.
Yeah, and that's the thing. They're trying to emulate what they're seeing on TV. They're emulating what, you know, there's this new wave on social media where you are hashtag blessed or hashtag I've made it. And everybody's trying to do that, but they're not having honest conversations with themselves. I mean, when we did our first powwow session on personal finances, we asked everybody to come with their bank statements. And we said, highlight all the contractual debt that you actually have to pay. And then highlight with another color all the things that you just, all your other frivolous spending. And look at how much you actually are spending on things that you should not be spending on. And that's the sad part, is that people, you know, we fluff over money. We fluff over money issues. We're never honest about what our actual situation is. I then asked the group on the same day, if you were given the opportunity to walk into your employer's office, that's if you even know who is the right person for you to speak to, you know, if you had to walk in there and negotiate a new salary, do you know exactly how much you need? And people will say, no, I just need an additional 5,000 rand. But They don't. They actually need far more than that, or even far less than that.
So now Nicolette is on the campaign, and I think it's becoming kind of a, if I could call it, it's becoming kind of a personal campaign, personal power thing for you as well. You want people to understand money in their lives, and then you want them to understand how to take ownership of it and not let it control them.
Yes.
Are you winning at that? Are you personally winning at that? Or are you going to be as truthful and as say, I make mistakes too?
No, definitely. I've made so many mistakes. Started off making, I got to a point where I was going to banks back in 2014, getting loans, you know, Wonga.com and I were best friends. Literally, every month I would need to go to Wonga and borrow some money. So I had my fair share of going through that process and actually lying to myself and convincing myself that, no, my financial status is not as bad as I think it is. Other people are far worse. And then I got to a point where I said, you know what, let me pay off all my debt. But even when you do that, it does not mean that you are in the clear, because it does not mean that you've built a solid relationship with money. And that's the other thing that we lack, you know. We start getting into better jobs, earning better salaries, making a little bit more money, but still, you still don't understand the finances in your life. You still don't have a good relationship. Your mindset has not changed. So basically, it's easy to just go back to the same bad habits. I mean, I don't even have a budget. And I walk around telling people they have budgets, you know. And sometimes I ask myself, I'm like, but like, what are you teaching people if you yourself are not disciplined enough to have a budget? So now I'm taking like conscious steps every single time, everything that I put out there to personally do and say, okay, so when I talk about a budget, I can show people my budget and I can say, this is how I try to stick to my budget. This is where I went wrong, or this is where I went a bit skiff, and okay, I'm trying to be that, yeah.
And now you are in the space of managing a career in the media, right?
Yeah.
And you're trying to be an ambassador for, I could almost put it down to better personal management, better personal money management. And you said it begins with financial literacy, but really at the base of it, it also begins with honesty. We have to do a bit of self introspection, self-assessment, and it is very tough. It is very tough.
Yes. Why are we having lavish weddings? Why are we having lavish funerals?
Yeah.
You know?
We are apparently having funerals where even our good brother, Joe Mafela, got an amazing tombstone. I've never seen anything like it.
Like, why are you giving a man who's dead, and sorry for my insensitive comment, but he's dead. He can't see it. What is the point? Who is it for?
I wonder if he's laughing at us.
He might be. Laugh at us. I would laugh at everybody. I'd be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, would
you know, we're buying.
Would anyone actually, if they could, and by the way, guys, you should do this, put it into your will and testament that you do not want the lavish funeral, that the money should go to anyone in the family who needs it, or the children, or, you know, that I think I'm going to put that in my will.
That's actually a great idea. I think I'll do exactly the same thing.
I don't think I want that weird tombstone.
You've got a whole 2 weeks of people coming to your family home.
Oh, yes.
Every day.
And the expectation in our culture, then, Nicolette, now we deal with this thing in South African culture where we don't like for others to know that times are tough.
Yeah.
So in dealing with financial literacy, are you also prepared to approach people and say, hey, I'm not going out anymore. I'm not going to these restaurants, or no, I'm not buying that car. You've got to share that honesty at some point, right?
Yes.
And not feel embarrassed. How did you make that break, or how do you encourage people to make that break?
Look, I have not. I have not been able to get people to be honest about their financial standings. And purely, as you say, you know, if people can't even have financial conversations within a family structure, you know, how then do we expect them to have that conversation outside of it? And that was clearly why I had started this financial literacy kind of videos that I was doing on Facebook, because for me it was, I wanted people to get to a point where they're comfortable enough to admit that not everything is as rosy as we make it look like. And I want people to be honest, but I do understand that it takes, again, it's a mind shift. It's, you know, it's a changing of your mindset.
Of course, in
saying, yeah, I actually am struggling with my finances. I need somebody to assist me. And I see it a lot with the inboxes that I get. I mean, people are in, they're in such bad state, like in terms of their finances. And sometimes I actually have to pull myself out of the situation and say, these are people that are desperate and they are looking, they're actually doing what I wanted them to do. They're finally coming out and saying, listen, I need help. And I always say to people, like my friends, I'm like, I don't think I am emotionally ready. And I don't think I'm mentally ready to actually be able to assist these people, because I want them to start the conversation, but then they start the conversation with me and I'm like, oh, wow, I think I'm way in, you know, over my head. So, I
reckon that in this conversation, I'm more convinced, and Mahali said to me, once you speak to her, you'll understand. I'm more convinced that, Nicolette, you could be a great ambassador for breaking those barriers, those personal financial development barriers, the honesty that people need to bring into it, just by hearing that it's okay. It's okay to be honest about it.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, well, I'm about to follow you on Facebook. Maybe watch a few of those videos. Why are you guys always pouting? See, are those your sisters? Are those your sisters? Is that the pout? Because maybe it's just a guy thing. I don't understand the pout. But I'm going to follow you on Facebook. And anyone else who gets the chance, please do. Nicolette deserves your follow. She deserves our support. And there should be banks, financial institutions and others speaking to people like you who want to create social change in that relationship with money.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Stay on it. I think you're a good ambassador for this cause. And definitely we would love to talk to you again. So I'll follow you on Facebook. I don't have a pout. I'll try and take a pout picture of some sort. But I will definitely again want to know that you are going to keep it up with these financial literacy videos.
I definitely will.
Awesome. Nicolette, thank you for chatting to us. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. It's really great.